What's up, everybody? Welcome to Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve.
What's up?
I am Billy.
And I'm Steve. Dude, did you hear... I'm almost embarrassed to say this. About Amber Heard and her bathroom situation?
Yeah. I knew that before the trial even came out. That was a rumor.
Really?
Yeah, that she...
But it actually came out on trial now.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
actually...
He read the thing. He read the text about it.
More than read, he saw the pictures.
He was like, well, I guess I shouldn't go back downstairs then.
Dude. Yeah,
she's nuts, bro.
That is like...
I mean, from there on, you don't have to prove anything else to me that she's a liar, that she's the crazy one. But they keep going, and it keeps coming out more and more that she is insane. And then the other day was the one about, or not the other day, just a clip that I saw. You go ahead and tell them, Johnny. You, Johnny Depp, go tell them that you are a victim of domestic violence. Go for it. Go say me. I, Johnny Depp, a man, is a victim of domestic violence. Go tell them. As if nobody would believe him, so she was going to ratchet up her crazy.
First of all, I read this. I read an excerpt from Chris Rock's commentary. Yeah. Did you read that?
No, I saw it, but he had talked about her doing that on
okay.
the bed.
It was hilarious. I mean, they bleeped out all the profanity, but basically he said that, paraphrasing, that once you do that, you know, all bets are off. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing you can say I can believe after that point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he said, I believe women. Like, you should believe women, except for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's lost all credibility.
Yeah, bro. She dropped the deuce on his bed. Like, there's no, you can't justify that. There's nothing you can say, because that takes thought. That takes planning. It doesn't just happen.
That's so gross,
man. If someone says X and you react, it's instant.
Right.
If someone says X and you go, okay, fine, go eat some chili, get, you know, move around, get up on the bed.
Yeah.
You've had plenty of time to process that this is not the best idea.
Yeah, you had plenty of time to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
But and she chose the latter, man. She chose to, you know, do her thing.
Listen, I'm going to say this to be fully transparent, because Billy and I talked about this off air last week. But I was a victim of domestic abuse when I was younger, when I was like between the ages of 18 and 20, 21. You know, I definitely dealt with that. And any of my boys who listen to this, who are around me during that time, know that this is true. You know what I'm trying to say? So they can vouch for me. But it is a fascinating thing to be a guy, and just speaking for myself, like, dude, I just came out of football, you know, just came out of high school, came out of football, best shape of my life, you know what I'm saying? Clearly can throw blows. That wasn't an issue. But, you know, there was something that I was just, this woman had a hold on me, this girl had a hold on me, and I just couldn't respond naturally. It took me years to be able to break out of that, you know, and I credit one of my friends for actually pulling me out of that dark place in my life. So I feel for Johnny Depp for what he's gone through. Reading more about it, 15 months? They were only married for 15 months?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they've been divorced for quite some time.
I know. I mean, this is 6 years we're going back, you know?
Yeah. This is just him getting back his credibility. Like, again, he was 50 years old and all of a sudden decided to start beating women. We talked about it after the last show, and we put a meme out about that. You know, Harvey Weinstein, somebody said one thing, got mm-hmm. the courage to talk, and you couldn't stop them from talking, mm-hmm. the rest of them. Same with Bill Cosby, Kevin Spacey. All these people, they say all this crazy, you know, one person says something, and here comes a sea of people, and, you know, Johnny Depp did this, and he's that, and crickets. People actually coming on, no, I've worked with Johnny on these movies. I've worked with him here. I knew him this way. Not one time was he ever even remotely close to being this way. Like, it's something that she's doing wrong, you know? That's all I needed to hear, was the fact that nobody said anything. And that was all the facts I needed.
But this is one thing I will say to you, is that they have text messages where he texts some stuff.
So what?
I mean, like, you know, hope she's...
Who cares? It's words. Who cares? I could not care less. If I found that my girlfriend is cheating on me, I'm not like, oh, hey, babe, you know, I hope you guys are, you know,
doing your best. No.
I'm going to say, I hope somebody rips your heads off and, you know.
No, I'm saying that makes sense, but not text messages to her. But let's just say Janice, you know, got on my nerves and I sent you a text message saying, like, you know, what was one that I read that, you know, I hope she, you know, put her, you know, her dead body, you know, I hope her dead body decays in my car. I'm sending it to you, not saying it to her.
So what? Venting is not, let me look it up. Is venting illegal now? Who cares?
Right.
Did he kill her? No, she's nuts.
Right. She's certifiable. And like the thing that you told me about, like when they're like passing each other, like he's coming off the stand and she's going up.
No, she's coming off the stand. He's getting up from behind his table.
Right.
He's not even looking at her.
Okay.
He's still kind of like fuddling around with his jacket or something. And she's the one who jumps back and he's like, huh? And they all freak out, like hands up. And he's like, okay. And he turns around. I mean, they're laughing. There's pictures of him and his attorney just laughing while she's up there anyone's giving testimony.
Like they're not even paying attention.
Yeah, because it's like, again, this guy objected, her lawyer, Rottenbottom, he calls him, or whatever his name, Rottenborn. He objects to his own questions that he answers. Like, this guy, they're so lost. They took on a bad case. It looks like,
they had to defend him, though.
They even show pictures of the judge sitting there looking around like,
is anyone paying attention?
She had her glasses, she took her glasses off.
Right.
And she's looking, she's like, so lunch, I guess? Is that lunch, I guess, the other two?
Yeah.
All right, guys. And she gets up and walks away. Like, she's befuddled. She's baffled about what is going on. She's like, I went to years of law school and I was a turn.
Yeah.
You know, she's reflecting on her entire life that she's sitting through this nonsense.
Right.
Oh, man, it cracks me up.
One thing, and I'll leave
it. I want to watch it, but I don't want to watch it. Yeah. I don't want to feed into this. You know, people think, oh, look at the attention they're getting. And pretty soon, it breeds more nonsense.
I'll throw two more things that I read, two more tidbits. One is that the doorman for the, I guess, condo they lived at, I don't know, said that routinely Elon Musk would come to the place, you know what I'm saying, without that being there.
I heard it was after they'd broken up.
Oh, they had broken up?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay.
I heard that they were broken up when he started dating her.
But I'm saying, I was reading the transcript, right?
Yeah.
So he's like routinely, you know, that he was showing up. I was like, what? And was it you that told me this about Franco?
Yeah, James Franco.
James Franco.
And they believe they were cheating together, having an affair. But he was kind of like egging her on too to like, you know, I read briefly that he was, whatever she was thinking about doing, he was like, yeah, he kind of gave her the nudge. So I'm not sure what it was.
So it seems like he was already done with the relationship?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you have to imagine, do you think they had a long-term relationship or was it really that short?
Who?
The two of them.
James Franco?
No. Depp and Heard.
I think it was short. I think he, like, they did a movie together. He, you know, fell for her. And then after that, started dating, got married, and that was it. I don't think it was years and years.
That is just, I mean, 15 months, man. For 15 months. And he gave her, like, in their settlement, their divorce settlement, I think it was like $15 million or $16 million, like a nice chunk of money in a divorce settlement and for it to come to this. But the last thing I'm going to say about this is that Nate, the lawyer.
Yeah.
I watched, and this, the only reason we were talking about this today is because he came through my feed, and well, he comes to my feed weekly, and he does updates on the trial, mm-hmm. and I just, you know, I don't pay attention to it. I push through it, but for some reason yesterday I was like, let me listen to this, and so I listened to it, and the whole 15 minutes or 20 minutes that he did his segment was on why he no longer believes Heard. Like, he's totally on Depp's side. And so he went point by point by and to the point where I had to cut it off. He was so upset, he started using profanity. He was throwing it around. He just couldn't, you know, handle it anymore. I was like, okay, it's time for me to go. But by the time he got to this point, this tirade, he was like, look, okay, here are all the people who say that she's lying, right? Okay, mm-hmm. And you might say, well, they're all paid people for Johnny Depp. Okay, fine. Here are all the cops who say that she's lying. You try to say, yeah. So am I to believe that they're paid too? Okay, we'll put them to the side. And there was a third thing that he said that was like the final straw, and I can't remember what it was, but he said that, look at this. And now you want me to say that, you know, these are all these are paid by Johnny Depp? Come on, man. You know, this woman, you know, she's certifiable. You know, she's you know, can't believe anything that she says.
Yeah, no,
you know.
There's nothing. I'm always skeptical when the woman says something first to begin with. But you should be that way with everything. Then you wait and see what happens and go from there. But this is a money grab. She did all this stuff to herself. She's a crazy person. And like I said, he's like Harvey Weinstein. Nobody liked him. Do what I want or you're not getting in the movies. Like Johnny Depp is not an average actor. Like he's a superstar. If you want to stereotype these guys, he would be one that would like do what I want. You're not in my movie. My movie's going to make money. I'm Johnny Depp. Do this or otherwise.
Right.
Nothing. Relationships. He's famous for dating a bunch of women all the time. Not all the time, but he has a...
Word would get out is what you're trying to say.
And nothing happens.
The question was there a book on Cosby? Like, was there word traveling the industry that Cosby was a pervert?
Yeah, Family Guy has quite a few clips about Bill Cosby.
I'm saying before.
Out. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they have a cutaway. It's kind of around the same time this all happened, but they're called the Offenders instead of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. The Offenders, and it's Cosby, Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Matt Damon. I mean, it's a ton of them. All of this
Matt
stuff.
Matt Damon?
Apparently, Matt Damon is one who knew a lot of this stuff, I guess. You know, okay. So, I guess that's why he's in the clip.
Okay.
But they've got a lot of that stuff. They've got... But yeah, from what I understand, Bill Cosby, there was always rumors, but like, it's Bill Cosby. You know, like, who's going to say anything about Bill Cosby?
So, I know you don't care about this, but...
I care about something.
What do you care about?
I care about... Did that refrigerator break?
Yeah.
It broke?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, not the one you gave me.
So you just threw it away anyway?
The one you gave me, I have it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. No,
I told Amos, I think Steve's throwing away that refrigerator.
No. I still have it.
Because I remember the back of it had the tape and all that stuff. Like, that's what it looked like. I was going to text you, but I was like, kind of, I just got home, saw it outside.
No.
Because I was ready to come here today and rail against every religious thing I've ever heard in my life, that they are just a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, I was ready to go.
Why?
Because you're supposed to offer that stuff to people in their time of need. To throw away a perfectly good refrigerator?
No.
Oh, Steve, listen, I was going to go. Listen, I was going to...
No. Hold on a second. I don't buy into that at all.
Oh, I do,
man.
100%.
Oh, my goodness. Like, see, okay, you're putting your sense
of... Did I take you off your rails there? Your thought, you had a topic to go
to? No, I still have it.
I don't want you to forget. You have
it.
No,
I still have it.
Good.
But no, look, like, you have, like, a unreasonable idea of what...
All right, let me reel it back in.
Okay.
Church people, do you want to help out others, be good, you know, donate your time, your money, soup kitchen stuff, all of these things. And when I saw the refrigerator, I thought it was one that I got for you.
Right.
Because the things on the back. Let me ask Steve, what, you know, did he get rid of it? I didn't get a phone call, but I'm also that person because I have people in my family, they, you know, here's $200 for your birthday. I'd like you to spend it on this. Get the hell out of here.
Get out of here. Like,
this
what?
Is mine. I might just light it on fire just because.
I stopped listening to you when you said you gave me $200.
Yeah, get out of
everything
here.
Everything after that, I didn't listen to
you. So I was like, well, you know, it's his. Do whatever you want with it. But then I was like, you know what, man? All these religious people donate your clothes, donate your this. If this is a perfectly good refrigerator, donate it. Even if you want to get the tax write-off, you know, whatever. And then I'm like, well, I know Steve. You know, he's not going to do anything.
Yes.
Well, you call and they come pick it up.
Yes.
They will come pick up this refrigerator for a poor person.
I will not even make the phone call.
See? And I'm like, bro, you religious people. No, you guys drive me nuts. You're so nonsensical.
So first I'm going to describe me and then I'm going to describe Billy. I am, what's the word I'm looking for?
Low key?
Not low key, but effort, like I'm low effort, right?
And you've never seen Deadpool, but his phrase is maximum effort as he does the laziest thing.
Okay, no, I never seen it, right? Yeah. But I'm that guy,
yeah.
Right? Well, like if I have something to give away, it has to be very easy for me to give it away. Like if I had like Janice and I, one of we're famous for having arguments about the garage because and Billy for years have seen I'll spend hours in the garage getting it fixed and organized to the tilt, right? Just to have it systematically have her infiltrate my garage with stuff that she wants for a garage sale. And I'm like, and it's not like a garage sale for necessary for us, but like, let's say like the youth is going to do, our youth group is going to do a trip. 6 months from now, she'll start piling it up in our garage. And it's like, no, not,
I'm with you on
anybody else's garage but mine.
That's a little bit too soon.
You know, or let's say she wants to give, like there's clothes that she wants to give away. Take it down to the, whatever you call that place, Salvation Army or whatever. No, she wants to pile it up, you know, and then decide to get, she wants to rummage through it. And no, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. So I am, that's me. Like, I am not hoarding anything. I want everything gone. If I haven't used it in 6 months, get rid of it, you know.
That makes sense, for sure.
But only by means of easy getting rid of. Like, if I got to work to get rid of it, it is not happening. You know, I may hold on. I might send out a text, a group text. Yeah. But after that, I'm done. Okay, so that's me. Now, for you,
yes,
dude, man, you have this unreasonable expectation. You know, I was thinking about this. It's funny.
I don't think it's unreasonable.
I was thinking about this yesterday.
Yes.
I have two pictures that are on my wall next to my bed. I have this montage of my kids, of them in different age groups, right? And two that like stick out of my mind and I can see them clearly is, one, I come back from work, I have Sarah as a baby in my arm. You know, she's looking up at me. Nathan's in front of me, like on my knee, leaning over, giving me a kiss. That's one picture, right? Of course, Mike is not born yet. And then I have another picture on the side of that where I have Mike, and Mike is probably like 2 years old, and I'm holding on to him, and I'm kissing his cheek, you know, and he's giggling while I'm kissing his cheek. And I'm like, this is me loving my kids. Like, I love my kids tremendously, and you can just see, like, how I'm just I'm doling over them, you know? And I'm like, this is how God thinks about us. You know, like, this is how he loves us. This is an example of how God loves us. But the difference is that I'm an imperfect person loving these kids, right? Like, there's so many things that I get wrong. Even at that age, when they were babies, I still got things wrong, and I loved them. But when God loves us like that, it's a perfect entity who loves us and does nothing wrong. And I'm like, so even when I try to give an example of God's love for us, I can't even use this perfect picture, this seemingly perfect picture of me loving my kids. I can't even use that because I'm the person who's giving the love is imperfect. I say all that to say, you look at Christians as if they should be God.
No. All religious people.
All religious people as if they should be God, but that's like, that's an impossibility. They can't live up to that standard.
Not at all. Is donating charitable a mainstay in the church? Yes, it is. So the fact that
it's
a difference of opinion.
No, not. I'm not saying whether it's. I'm not disagreeing with you or agreeing with you that it's a mainstay. I'm saying the living up to making sure that you give things away. That standard of saying that you have to make sure you give everything away, it's like, what's wrong with you? That's like, no, you're asking someone to be perfect.
Not have to at all. It's, I'm not, I looked outside, I didn't see a, you know, coloring book. Kids can get coloring books. They're, you know, $5 for a pack of five. Refrigerators are hundreds of dollars. People are struggling. Just, it doesn't matter. Like I said, I used to donate quite often to Salvation Army, I think it is.
Oh, and there's Goodwill too.
Yeah, but I donated to Salvation Army. I had a table that we didn't need, like a big bench chair, like, you know, it was a decent piece of furniture, and I donated it to the Salvation Army. And then a few months later, I went back, a few weeks later, I went back to donate something else. So I was walking around the store to see it. It was priced at like $2,000.
What?
And I was like, this is as much as it cost in the real store, like in wherever it came from. And I was like, this is some scummy stuff, but this is bad. So I started walking around. The stuff priced inside the Salvation Army was ridiculous. Like, I thought you're supposed to donate to help out people in need. You're gouging them left and right.
Well, hold on. To their credit, to their defense, should I say, is that they don't help out. That's not where they help out. Where they help out is if there's like a tornado strike in the Midwest, they'll go in there with stuff. And the way they're able to pay for all that stuff is by gouging people who buy at this store.
you're right. You are 100% correct on.
But they do have, because my kids are thrifters, man, literally, and they go to Salvation Army. I think it's Tuesday, or at least this one that's close to us, 50% off on Tuesdays or something like that.
Yeah, you know? I think it's maybe Wednesday.
Or maybe Wednesday, I don't know.
I've driven Maya there, I'm like, what's going on here? I can't even get inside the store. I'm not a thrifter.
I hate shopping. I'm like, yeah. Amazon was built for me. Like, I was built, I'm coded for an Amazon. I hate going to a store, period. Yeah. You know, unless I'm buying boots. But other than
that, certain things, if you got to try something on, by all means, you got to try it on. But for most stuff, I'm with you. But no, this I don't believe donating has anything to do with being God. If it's something that, like I said, is not giving away a crappy coloring book or a crappy piece of shoes, this is a high-priced item that somebody could need, even if it's a church who needs extra stuff or a soup kitchen who can store it. The effort should be there for that person.
But here's the thing. You don't know how much. In this particular situation, it was something that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But imagine it did work, and I did put effort in. Here's an example. The tires.
Yeah.
You had somebody. You rolled it out. Yeah. They never showed up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know.
No. That's why I came away to ask you.
But you're armed and ready with your retort. Like,
because
okay,
because
if it was
I know
broken,
you.
I leave it alone. But if it wasn't broken, oh yes. My goodness, I'm gonna rip.
And if it wasn't broken, what was the first thing you said? Yeah, I'm not even gonna call them to come pick it up.
Okay, sometimes I speak in hyperboles. Okay, so a refrigerator, I would put a little bit of effort, but only a little bit of effort.
I understand that, but again, my point is,
you know, there's only so much I'm willing to do.
I have a view on religious people. I believe 90% of them are hypocrites, and that's probably never going to change. So when certain things come up, today I came in aggressively because I wanted to know, like, this is insane. But I've asked you questions about it because you're the most religious person that I know, and you seem semi-normal. So I can ask you questions.
Except when I think that Thanos represents the devil.
Yeah, then you're out of it. But that's so funny. But so I ask questions because I know I'm not going to get this. Well, I'm going to say long-winded. It will be long-winded. But I'm not going to get this conversion of religion to, like, no, it's, hey, I thought you guys were supposed to donate stuff, help people in their time of need, you know. And I've never given you crap for it, except for my personal thing for how I feel of religious people. But your answer is, listen, it's not, I don't want to put the effort in, which is perfectly okay. If you're a regular person, but because you're a religious person,
that's the point I'm making.
You are not allowed to do that. All the crap I've heard my entire life about donate this and give here and do that.
Listen, that's the point I'm making. See, this is the.
I don't think it's a God thing, a perfect thing. It's just what I've been told my whole life. Be generous.
But I'm saying you should be generous. You should donate. You know, you should be kind. All these things are true. Like, I'm not disqualifying any of those things or mitigating any of those things. Yeah. All I'm saying is that all these things, if there was a rule book and all these things in the rule book we should do, just because you don't do it doesn't make you not worthy, should I say, right?
I don't think that either. I'm solely looking at it as a hypocritical thing. That's all it is. Because based on, and you know what you're trying to explain. Mm-hmm. You understand, like, listen. And I won't even say it's how I live my life, because we had the conversation about the prostitute who does everything quote unquote right, but is a prostitute. She's going to hell. Where I try my best to live a good life, but I do nothing else for anybody else. I'm going to go to heaven because that's what Jesus wants. To me, those two people are the opposite. They're very different. One of them is a better person who has a odd profession. The other one is just saying, well, I love God. That's all that's needed. I disagree.
See, well, it's interesting. And there's so much I want to talk about. So I don't want to do a deep dive in Christianity because there is a significant difference between Christianity and everything else.
Yeah.
Significant, not even close. But in terms of Christianity, think about it. Remember I was talking about my kids and how I love them, but I'm an imperfect creature trying to love something, right? The difference is that when you're dealing with something that's perfect, which none of us can even relate to, right? But when you're dealing with something that's perfect, if that entity that's perfect says, I can't be around imperfection, then whatever makes something imperfect, whether it is doing everything right but being a prostitute or doing everything wrong but you know, loving Jesus, whatever that imperfection is that makes you imperfect, it's the beholder that says whether they can deal with it or not.
Yeah.
Not us as the imperfect vessel. Does that make sense?
I guess.
So what I'm saying to you is that at least when I hear you speak a lot, you always make reference to your sensibility, and I think that that's the wrong starting point. You know, the sensibility that you need to grab a hold of is God's sensibility. At least if you're talking about it from a Christian's perspective, it's his sensibility, and then through that lens, you begin to understand. Okay, well, how should I live my life?
Like I said, we're not going to deep dive, but that I hear that, and it's just justifying your thoughts, which is what most people do. All right, I'm going to see if this is the right thing, because I've shared this 1,000 times, but it's never saved. So let's see if this is what I'm thinking about here.
I'm going to speak to you, the next generation, okay? I accept the responsibility as your elder, so listen up.
Nope, here we go. Here comes the nonsense.
What were you trying to play?
It's something from Chris Pratt. I've shared it on our Instagram.
Oh yeah, when he was
when he gave a speech.
Yeah.
It just kind of fit in here, but as always, you type in something, it gives you the exact thing, and then when you go to press play, people talk over it, put their thought to it.
You mean like,
I don't care.
You mean reaction?
Yeah. Well, no, they're talking over. Chris Pratt said, shut your face. I want to hear what he said. I don't want to hear what you have to say about what he said. I want to watch a 30-second clip. Why is that so difficult?
But what I'm saying, if you clicked on a reaction video,
No, it's not. It's a picture of him 30 seconds long, but his speech is 28 seconds.
Right.
And people took the other 2 seconds to dub over what he's talking about. And I don't want to hear it. But the mood has since passed because it fit into what we were talking about imperfect and all this stuff. And it fit. But again, the internet screwed up because it's the computer. Not my phone. My phone never fails.
Did you hear about the church? First of all, let's back up. Let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
There were 3 shootings that were reported this weekend.
I saw 2.
One was in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure you saw that one.
Yeah.
The one in California with the church.
I saw the California. I didn't know much about it. I heard it was in California.
And, man, where's the third one? Oh, in Houston. Houston, there was a flea market. And I think the one in Houston was clearly like, you know, 2 rival groups coming together, like having beef.
A gang shooting?
Yeah, I don't know if it was gang, but definitely like, you know, if you walked up on my boys, things didn't end well, you know what I'm saying, and it turned into a shootout.
Gotcha.
But so there was 3, so I found it very interesting. It was 3, I mean, literally, you know, east, west, and dead center, you know what I'm saying? We had shootings going on in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily want to talk about any of the shootings specifically. I do want to bring up the fact that in California, it was an Asian church, and the person who, it was a Chinese church, a Chinese-speaking church, but it was an Asian church, and the guy who did the shooting was Asian, and they ended up tackling him and hog-tying him.
That's fun.
So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. But unfortunately, I think like 4 people died or something like that in California. But I do find it interesting that this is California, one of the states that have the stringest gun laws on the books.
Well, same in New York,
and that happened.
Right?
Yeah, this was happening close to Buffalo. The thing that happened in Buffalo, they said that this guy drove multiple counties to get to where he. They already called it a hate crime and all this stuff, whatever, whatever. But they never explained to you specifically what evidence they're gathering that proves that this is a hate crime.
His manifesto.
But they didn't tell you what the manifesto was. They didn't tell you what's in the manifesto, you know? Did you read anything?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me something.
He thinks it's a, what do they call it, the Great Reset, that the liberals are trying to erase white people by letting in all of the minorities, all the people from the border. And he chose Buffalo because that part of New York has the highest concentrated population of black people. So he went there to kind of thin out the reset, the population of white and black. But it's, I mean, they're going to run with that for sure. But his manifesto was written from something the Nazis, like it related back to anti-Semitism, like getting rid of the Jewish people, I guess what Nazis did.
Right.
And he believes too, like this isn't a plot by the government. It's even deep into the Jewish, like Jewish people are behind doing this. I think is what he talked about.
Okay. He said it was 180 pages, so he put some thought into it.
It was, yeah, they've been checking him out, like looking into him, trying to see he's been psyche vowed past. He said this all kind of started, he said, you know, like that he had nothing to do in the beginning of COVID. He was kind of sitting around bored. And then I guess just the news and people getting into him and kind of like got all this stuff into his head and decided to, you know, do something about it.
So that's interesting. Everything you just said, but the most interesting part about it is what the last thing you said, which is that being home during COVID basically put him in created an environment where he could super saturate himself with information that led him down a particular stream. That is very, very interesting.
Yeah,
so
let me see if I can find it, but keep going.
The point that I wanted to bring out about that particular case, right, the Buffalo case, is that they're going out of their way to call it a hate crime. And it probably is racially motivated based on what you just said. You know, the feds are involved in it, you know, and whatnot. But because it happened in New York.
Here it is. Jerdeman insists that his views weren't influenced by his parents, friends, or anyone else. Instead, he writes, it started when I was 16 and the pandemic boredom drove me in the darker corners of the web. So he had nothing to do at home, decided to really start, you know, I'm on the internet all day long. I've seen every Family Guy. I watched every video on YouTube. Not a bad one. So this guy, probably this kid, again, being a kid, not fully, you know, thinking properly, and was influenced by a lot of stuff he saw on the internet and then realized, let me see what's further. So we're in crazy room A. What's behind crazy room door number letter B, C, D, E? And pretty soon he's as down the rabbit hole as you could be. And all of a sudden, it starts making sense to him.
See, that's interesting because I want to segue because there's something I wanted to talk about, and I feel like this is a great way of segueing into it. But it goes back. But let's just before I go there, let's talk about this guy's psyche for a second. The fact that being trapped, because that's basically what we were for 2 years, being trapped. You're left to your own devices. There's this proverbial statement out there, you know, idle hands is a devil's workshop. Like, you know, if you're left alone with no one, with nothing, with no oversight, and you just have sheer boredom to deal with, to contend with, you might get yourself into trouble. More often than not, you're going to get yourself into trouble, and this guy is an example of that. So that's very interesting, and there's something I'm going to talk to you about that I know is going to tick you off, Billy, so I'm preparing you already. Drink some coffee, cool down. That's going to segue. But
I don't know. Wouldn't coffee amp me up being so over?
Well, drink some water because I want to make sure that you are reasonable when we talk about the next issue. All right. Before I do that.
I appreciate your forewarning.
Before I do that, I do want to say, because he's in New York, remember, they are already saying that they're going to prosecute this as a hate crime and they're going to amplify it and do all that stuff. But because it's in New York and because of the Democrats' position, Biden's moratorium, this dude will not get the death penalty. He will not. The most that he is capable of getting from in New York, of the state of New York, if he's prosecuted as a state crime, the most he can get is life imprisonment. And even if the feds get involved in it and charge him and convict him, they won't kill him because there's a moratorium on deaths. And so my question is, like, how do you feel about that? Are you okay with that? Someone in this particular situation who it wasn't a crime of passion. He literally took time. His manifesto was 180 pages.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hard-pressed to read anything that's 180 pages. This dude wrote 180 pages, you know, calculated, knew where he wanted to go, chose his target specifically because of the demographics,
mm-hmm.
went over there, you know, and look, we're in this woke culture where, you know, supposedly white people hate black people, right? And yet, the leftist view of things is that this guy is not worthy of death. What do you think about that? That is, again, when we take things to the extreme. Either side, we take things to the extreme.
Who says he's not worthy of death?
The left. The left says that, you know, we shouldn't kill anybody. That we should, that there should be no punishment that takes somebody's life.
I don't. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that's the case. I think if the Republicans decided that...
No, I'm not talking about the Republicans. I'm talking about the left.
I understand that. And okay. I think if they decided to agree with that, the left would decide to start killing people. That's what I think. I don't think they have any true stance on it.
But hold on. But that's not the point, though. Let's,
I agree. You're right.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're right right? That they just want to be the contrary, right?
So, yeah, that's what I think it is. So that would be my answer. Secondly, my answer also would be then... that the eyewitnesses are not worthy of death. They have a law. Their law is, because we can both agree that this guy is worthy to die of what he did. Mm-hmm. You take, in my opinion, a life for a life, eye for an eye. He took 10. So for sure, he should be taken out, no questions asked. I don't believe the color of the skin has anything to do with it. This guy ended 10 people's lives just because he got bored one day. That's not okay. So I don't say, they're not saying he's not worthy of death. The law is saying we have... We're going to put him in jail, X, Y, and Z, and that's what it is.
You mean the law of New York?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the law of the federal law says that an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this administration, and they put a moratorium on death penalty, he won't die.
Well, then that, to me, that's political. They're not worthy of death. They're just doing something
this is
to
my
piss
point.
People off.
This is my point. Like... We have a system in place right now where we have laws in the books that we're not enforcing,
yeah.
right? Like there's something wrong with that we actually have a law in the book that says a person that does this type of crime can get convicted. I mean, think about what's going on with the justices.
Well, listen, they're gonna remove the moratorium. He's like the other people killed white people. This guy killed black people. So
No. Listen, look at the dude from South Carolina. What's his name? Not Paul. I forgot his name.
The church thing?
The church thing.
That was during the Trump's administration.
Right, but I'm saying, but he could have been killed now, but because of the moratorium, he's not going to they can't kill him.
When was the moratorium placed? Under Biden?
Under Biden.
Listen, under Biden. My opinion is...
What's this guy's name? Ruth. I think his name is Ruth. Yeah.
My opinion is they're going to lift it because they can't have that.
If they were going to lift it, they would have definitely lifted it for Ruth. They haven't lifted it. In fact, this is why it's such a big deal, because I think Ruth... We talked about this before. There were two... people. One was the Boston bomber, at the Marathon Boston bomber, and then this guy Dylan Ruth. Both appealed their, you know, death penalty, whatever, and they both lost. But even with the loss, the Biden administration refuses to execute the you know their judgment because of the moratorium.
Gotcha.
So I'm just saying, like, if the, anything was going to happen, if it was going to be lifted, it would have been lifted with Ruth, because they were all blacks that died. It was literally a black church.
Yeah.
In this case with this kid, I mean, I think there's like, I think three white people died. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but his intent was to kill black people and avoid dying.
Fair enough, but
is what it says
but regardless, and avoid dying. Look at that, man.
Yeah, his statement documents his goals were to kill as many black people as possible, avoid dying, and spread ideals.
Which is interesting. How long do you think he's going to last in jail?
Unless they have him isolated for the rest of his life. That drives me nuts. Feed him to the wolves, bro.
Yeah.
Let them tear him apart. And that's anybody. Like this, you know, we got to make sure the pedophiles don't get to general population. Oh, hell no. Put them in there. Let them hand out their own justice. That's one of the best parts about prison.
Okay. So I don't agree with you, but
1,000%.
I don't agree with you.
If the government doesn't have the gall to do the right thing, give it to the people who have nothing to lose.
So listen to this for a second, because this is the segue that I want to make. It's going to seem like a leap, but you'll pick up on it in a second.
We're safe. Angelo Carasone is the president and CEO of Media Matters for America, which has reported on the story of Robert LeMay, and he joins me now. Angelo, I just want to be clear and respectful here. First of all, there are people who die of COVID who are vaccinated. It is not, it doesn't stop you from succumbing to the disease. It's also no one's fault if they get an infectious disease. It doesn't adhere to someone ethically if you catch COVID or you get very sick with COVID. What we do know is that vaccination, and particularly boosted on top of vaccination, reduces by 15, 16 times people's risk of death. And what has the message been from Fox about vaccination in the main?
The bottom line, people don't remember the individual claims, right? They remember the narrative, the takeaway. And the takeaway from Fox News is not only that the vaccine is not effective, but Fox's current coverage is that the vaccine will kill you. That is the bottom line takeaway, that it is either going to hurt you more than COVID would, or alternatively, that it's some kind of an effort to take away your freedom. And if you get vaccinated, you're actually giving in to liberal totalitarians, and a whole bunch of other negative things will come from it. So they sort of give you an either or takeaway, but that is the summation of Fox News's coverage.
So I'll stop there for a second. There's so much to unpack there. But before I get to the obvious, what's your thoughts on the fact that, remember we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how they did this research where they said, hey, I'll pay you to watch CNN and hey, I'll pay you to watch Fox.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the idea that Fox could be so one-sided on, and that's just this specific issue, so one-sided on this specific issue that to its followers, it turns them into this moron in Buffalo that is like, he's so bored, has nothing to do, and so he just inundates himself with this one particular set of thoughts, and so therefore now the individual becomes irrational, you know, in their thinking, and not able to see both sides of the argument.
I would say you're just doing what CNN and them do. They're saying it's kumbaya over there, and that's their irrational thing, forcing everyone to take this thing, and it's okay to strip you of your freedoms because they've been indoctrinated to think that it's a end-all, be-all, the greatest thing ever. And that's nonsense.
So you're saying that they're both playing the same game?
100%.
And are you okay with that? And listen, I think I know your opinions on this, so I'm just doing this for conversation's sake.
Am I okay with it?
Yeah.
No, not really. I think the news should be reported, and you decipher what you want. They should listen, people. We've had reports that this thing changes your DNA in your liver. We've had reports that it could potentially down the road cause health problems. We have reports that elderly people should get it and it's 10 times likely to save their life and 10 times more likely to get boosted. Okay, cool. I'll make the decision. To have it both be one-sided. I mean, like, I don't want to do the extra effort to watch both newscasts and decipher what I believe is true. I'd like one to just give me the information and let me make my decision myself. So no, I think they're both a little bit biased.
So here's the thing. By the way, I was watching. This is MSNBC.
Yeah.
And I know you would never even like.
No.
Not even something that you even think about. MS what? So that's MSNBC. This is their spin on it, right? And I'm not even gonna. I don't even know if I'm gonna talk about their spin.
Their spin is Fox is saying you're gonna die from it.
But
now I've not looked at Fox or read any of their headlines, but I imagine they're not saying jab and die, jab and die. I imagine they're putting the risks out there that were denied for the last 2 years.
So I was gonna respond to that, and I'm gonna respond to what you just said. I don't watch news. I stopped watching news like 5 years ago, way before the election, maybe 4 years ago. But I read a lot, right? So based on my reading, what I read on Fox, I would never. I think that that's a mischaracterization of Fox's position. I do not believe that Fox tell people don't get the vaccine. I don't believe that at all. I think what they're saying is, not I think, I know based on my reading is that they're saying, it's your choice. Don't force us to do one way or the other. I feel very comfortable that that's their position. So I feel that what the guy said was not really true. In fact, I would say it was misinformation. I mean, this is the reporter is saying like clearly that this is their position. And he goes on to say other things, but that's all I want to talk about.
Let's see if their Ministry of Truth steps in and decipher if they're being truthful or not.
So before I go there, the main reason why I brought this up, and you touched on it pretty well, is the fact that you do believe that the news that we're getting from the right is really strongly one-sided and we're not getting the whole truth.
I believe it's more center than the left, but it is right leaning for sure.
Okay. And so for people from the left, and we're not talking about the leftists, okay? We're not talking about the elitists. But the people from the left, if their argument to us is like, man, you keep watching Fox News, you know what I'm saying? You're getting misinformed because they're so one-sided. I know your response is going to be, well, you're doing the same thing, but would you also say, okay, you're probably right?
Possibly. But I would lead with, yeah, but you're doing the same thing. So, you know, don't come to me when, don't tell me that my news is biased when your news is biased. That's, you know, it's to me, that's the end of the argument.
Right. And this is, I think, is the where we are as an American society, and we got to figure out where do we go from here, because I think that we've come to the place, we've grown, we've matured in our one, we're almost a year into this, we've matured in the place where we're able to be very honest and transparent with the fact that, hey, both sides are throwing us for a loop. Now, I agree with Billy in the fact that, but if there's one that's more egregious than the other, you know what I'm saying, it's definitely the left.
I mean, just by that statement you just played, they're telling you that you're going to die if you get the vaccine. But there's so go search Fox, search vaccine, and see what they're actually saying.
That is a good point.
I mean, you can tell right there that they're lying. They're spinning it to their viewership for ratings, not for your best interest.
And what's interesting about what you just said, because Billy said this multiple times, if you want to know what the left is doing, hear what they're saying about the right, and then automatically you know, oh, crap, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because this whole episode was because there was a cop last year that was like, who got fired. I can't remember what state he's from, but he got fired because he wouldn't take the vaccine.
Yeah.
He was on the Laura Ingraham show. He was on Fox multiple times, but the show that they showed here was a clip with him on Laura Ingraham on his last day on duty while he was in his car, basically saying they wouldn't give me a whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my last day. So the governor, you know, go screw yourself, basically what he said,
yeah.
Right? And his point that he was making is that guy died last week of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly he died of COVID. You know that I'm very skeptical of, like, did he die with COVID or did he die of COVID, right? But putting that to the side, he died last week. And the point that this reporter was making, this anchor was making, was that there's no news of this guy dying on Fox. So here's Fox championing a guy for sticking it to the government. And yet basically, he's saying that Fox is responsible for this guy's death.
No, not
and,
at all.
And Fox is responsible for anybody who listens to Fox, who did not get the vaccine, and who died. Fox is responsible. That's his whole angle. And I'm not sure if I played part of that clip here, but he asked the question, do you think they're doing this for ratings? And the guy's like, yeah, absolutely they're doing it for ratings, absolutely whatever, whatever. And here it is, you're saying like...
What are they doing for ratings? I mean, listen, they said, bottom line is they're telling people you're going to die if you get the vaccine.
Right.
You're trying to be polarized and you're trying to spike ratings by saying that. Or you come out and say, very malign and boring, you know, Fox is saying that, you know, if you take this vaccine, there's a chance you could, you know, die from it. You know, it's probably not the best... you know, the best advice to give, but that's what they're saying over there. So, I mean, people, you go out there and you know, double check, see what they're saying, and, you know, let us know in the comment section. But no, you're saying you're going to die if you take it. You are trying to be polarizing. You're trying to spike the ratings.
Right. And I'll leave it at this. The last thing I'll say about this is he mentioned again that number, 16%. Less likely of dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Of your, what is it, 0.00025? Yeah.
Again, he actually said something that was a lie, and I'm not going to play it, but he said, like, you know, there were more people who died in 1 week. In the year 2022, I think it might have been February or something like that, but in 1 week, there was more people who died in that week of COVID than have died for the entire year. Right? And I'm like, I don't even have to look that up to know that you, like, somehow you read something wrong in your prompter and you said something that's just extremely ludicrous and outrageous, and I can't even believe, you know what I'm saying, they allowed that to go to air, you know what I'm saying, or retract it. You didn't retract it. But regardless, this is the type of misinformation that it's like, man, will your ministry of truth listen to this and say, and you listeners, would you listen to this and recognize that, hold on a second, this is a lie. You know, 16%, okay, if that, what does that number shake out to be? And then really, more people died in 1 week than a whole year? Really? Do you understand the magnitude of that? That we would totally be on lockdown if something like that happened. You know, but it's like it's craziness. You know,
yeah, you would hear about it. It would be everywhere,
right? But I'll end it by saying that we have to be. I point that out because I want you to hear what the other side is saying. You know, and he presented it in a way that sounded like he wanted to be neutral, but it was so not neutral and filled with so much.
The question asked
mistruth
is to look at the fair reporter. He's giving the information. They're not biased. I can't control how the person responds, but look how I worded the question. I'm down the middle, knowing this person's going to answer insanely. So come on, man. That's the move, bro. They're good at politics. They're good at news. You know, the Republicans go on there with this, we're going to get them attitude. It's ridiculous.
So the Heat are going to play the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah? I didn't see anything about
that. Yeah, the Celtics actually beat Minnesota. And Minnesota, just so you know, won the championship last year. And they were favorites.
Not Minnesota, Milwaukee.
Right? No, I'm sorry, Milwaukee. Oh, sorry, dude. Sorry. Milwaukee beat, won the championship last year. And they were Vegas favorites going into the year to get back to the finals.
Mavs are on their way. Championship.
The Mavs, well, before I get to the Mavs, so Milwaukee... lost to the Celtics, man. Now, one thing to tell you is
they beat
that
them pretty badly too.
Yeah. Oh, like. They got smoked. But both game sevens were smokeouts. But Middleton, which is their number two player in Milwaukee, got hurt in the last series. Mm-hmm. So they were already playing with one hand tied behind their back. And the Celtics are a formidable team. I mean, they're young and spry, and they play really good defense. You know, so I was really looking forward to playing Milwaukee. I'm disappointed that we're going to be playing the Celtics. And I'm not going to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest. There's a good chance that the Celtics can beat the Heat in the semifinals going into the finals because the Celtics are really, really good. They're a really, really good team. And this is going to be a defensive slugfest. I'll be surprised if any game where you have both sides score over 100 points. That's what kind of game, that's really? What kind of series you're going into.
That where, sounds like the NBA does not want that. That sounds boring.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just telling you. Well, listen, you're talking about the number one three-point shooting team in Miami in terms of percentage, and the Celtics are somewhere up there as well. But they play such exceptional defense that they are okay with not scoring points because they know that they're going to stop the other team from scoring points.
That sounds like the Heat of old.
Yeah. So
we got to just first to 80 wins. We know we're not going to score.
Right.
We're going to shut them down. We know we're going to get just enough to get it done.
So I'm predicting, so out of what however many games this series goes, I'm predicting there will only be one game where both teams score over 100.
So the first 200 wins?
Well, not necessarily.
So I meant that was one of the Heat's scores a while back, too. I think they had, it was like...
If they scored
over 100... If they got to 100, they won. It was like 13-2 or something. It was a weird, it was weird
during the
number
LeBron,
like that.
It was during the LeBron years.
Yeah, it was like, hold on a second. If you get to 100, it's like almost a guaranteed victory.
They won. But they would win. But I'm predicting that there will only be one game in this whole series where both teams will score over 100, and after that, it's going to either be neither team or only one team that will get over 100.
That could be the game 7 when there's nothing to lose. You go balls out and just start shooting from half court.
Yeah, this has the makings of a 7-game series, man. And I'm just like, oh man. So we'll see.
You know, I had someone ask me like, your kid plays basketball and all this stuff. Why do you hate the NBA so much? And just to clarify for people, it is the NBA. I do not like the NBA. It is their political stance, and I'll make it this simple. The NFL, on the back of their end zones, says, at least now, they got away from most of the nonsense, says, end racism, and the helmets in the goalpost wraparound says, stop hate. Now, we know code what that means. It doesn't mean what it means, but the message is there, end racism, stop hate. Any normal human being thinks those are okay messages. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Again, there's meaning behind it, but on face value, that's what it means. Stop hate and racism. The NBA is okay with discrimination. They're okay with racism, with the Utah Jazz coming out and saying we're only giving scholarships to minorities and not white kids. That's racism. I don't care how you decide it. How do you, want to justify it? Alienating one and not the other, based solely on their skin color, is a racist thing. So the NBA actively practices racism. The NFL says it. Again, my opinion, we all know there's code behind it. I'm sorry to keep saying that. But the message is, end racism, stop hate. That's it. If they have some secret foundations where they're screwing over different races, I've not heard about it. But the NBA came out. Utah Jazz said it. Their governor backed it up. They're all okay with it. That's a problem. That's why I will not watch the NBA.
I'm going to say something that might sound controversial, but Utah is a religion where up until, I think, 1971, early 70s, they wouldn't allow blacks to... be of any kind of clergy. Like, you couldn't be a black person and be in any kind of leadership or any kind of clergy within the Mormon religion. That's a fact. You can look it up. So I'm, and Utah happens to be the enclave for the Mormon religion. Like, that is like,
yeah, that's what they do.
That is what Utah is. That is like a religious state, and the religion of choice is Mormonism. And so I say all that to say that, is this a guilt complex?
No, they've said it. Yeah, it's like, for so many years of injustice, we're going to try to make it right. You cannot erase the past. And by overstacking one side in the future creates the same thing. Just say, we learned from the past. We are not going to do this. We're going to move forward together, right? Inclusivity and all this stuff. Where's that? It's no, we're going to single out the white people.
Why do we overshoot the mark? Why?
So you and I can sit here and get upset by it, and they can sneak in 1,000 immigrants at the border while we're here talking about the Mormon religion.
Listen, just as an aside, there was Fox News did this investigative report, and I think it was in Buffalo, man. Oh, God, was it Buffalo? I cannot remember, but it was upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of the city was standing in front of three charter buses, right, with the Fox News guy, and he mm-hmm. says, these three buses, we've been tracking this for a while, and today we're going to take you through the process of showing you what's happening in our city.
Yeah.
These three buses are going to go to the local airport, not the big like airport like our big airport, but one of the smaller like Opa-locka Airport, one of those smaller airports, and they're gonna bring in immigrants and then use these buses to shuttle them. And so the whole episode, you saw them first, and even as they were talking, you saw the buses pulling out.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you see the buses at the tarmac. The buses drive up onto the tarmac, up against the plane, and you see the immigrants running down the stairs to get into the buses, right? And then they follow the buses to like some parking lot where they have sponsors, local sponsors who are picking them up and putting them in their vehicles. You see them have luggage, they give them money, and they were like, this is happening like every week. At this particular show that I saw, it was like 150 people that got picked up. And this is happening every week. This is I didn't tell you this. Here in our neighborhood, did you hear about what happened in our neighborhood?
No.
I've been meaning to tell you this for like weeks. On a Saturday, a van, like a 15-passenger van,
mm-hmm.
pulled up into our parking lot of our park and dropped off immigrants.
Oh, yeah?
And they just dropped them off, took off, and the immigrants just started walking in different directions. You know, some walked through the grassy knoll, some walked out the front of the park. They just dropped them off, dude.
Man, that's what they do.
Like, guys, I'm telling you, this is not a left right issue. This is an American issue. This is wrong, and for so many reasons, this is wrong. This is terribly wrong, and I'm just baffled at. And so on that note, I'll tell you this: you put out a meme yesterday on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and there's two things that I want to talk about that meme. But one of them says 46. The last two points you made, the one before it said that, I think. 70%, some number, if you could pull it up, I'll see if I can pull it real quick. There was a high number that said that their income has diminished. Oh, it's right here. Oh, thank God, it's right here. 65% of adults say their family's income is falling behind the cost of living. 65%. That is what we call supermajority. Okay,
yeah.
In politics, anything 10 points or better, you know, you've got a landslide, okay? 65%. But then the very next bullet point you made is this. 46% of registered voters say they want Republicans to control Congress, and an equal 46% want Democrats in charge.
To be continued.